What's up, everyone? You're tuned into Deeper Than Dough, and today we're spicing things up, literally. We're chatting with the founders of Seagree, an Indian food franchise that's shaking up the game with fresh, affordable, and downright amazing Indian cuisine. With the backing of Craveworthy Brands, they're building something big, giving franchisees the tools to succeed while staying true to their roots. It's all about great food, smart growth, and inspiring vision. Let's jump in.
Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Deeper Than Dough podcast. Super excited to have some amazing guests, Ukarsh and Jaget. Welcome to the show.
Hey guys.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Yes, I'm super excited. So you guys are the owners of Seagree, which is an amazing Indian food franchise, which is also under the Craveworthy umbrella. Jaget, if we could start with you, can you give a minute or two of your background and what led you to opening Seagree?
Well, my name is Jaget Parekh, a proud father of two wonderful children and two grandkids. I'm married to a superwoman, first generation immigrant from India, still struggling with the language and the accent. Founder of Seagree on my journey from being a franchisee to a franchisor. Basically living my American dream. The vision, the journey of founding Seagree started as soon as I came to this country. And I was craving good Indian food. I had to travel like 20, 30 minutes to find one. And then even then, it used to be a hit or miss. One day you go there, it's awesome food. Second day you go there and it sucks. So since then, I have been struggling and thinking and dreaming about having a concept where it's consistent, fresh, healthy, flavorful, all that thing that Indian food is.
And affordable. That's something that affordable, you guys have thrown
yes,
in, which is awesome.
That's one of the biggest things. Yes.
Awesome. And this was 2018. But I guess before we start into that, Ukarsh, can you give us a little bit about your background and what led you to here?
Hey guys, it's Utkarsh Yadav. So I came into this country in 2010. I did my undergrad, my master's in computer science, and I was working throughout these my academic years. I worked as a boss boy. I worked as a dishwasher. I worked as a bartender, a server, everywhere since I was here since 2010. And one thing that I really missed was the freshness of the food, which was not available anywhere. And I'm like, why Indian food have never made it national? The only reason why is because everybody was doing it wrong. And that's why we wanted to create Seagree Indian Barbecue, where we actually want to make something that I grew up eating back in Mumbai. So I grew up eating street food everywhere. So street food is somewhere where you don't get food which has been in the refrigerator for hours. They have to buy their produce fresh. They have to buy their dairy, their meat fresh, and they have to sell it right there and then. So there has to be room for a concept where you can serve that same quality of food, which is fresh, to the American audience, and they can actually understand what Indian food is all about. Because making curries for a month or 2 months and then shipping it in packages, it's not going to work. You have to make things fresh. You have to make things available for people, which is at its best form. So that's where Seagree Indian Barbecue, the whole concept, me and Jaget, we both did our research starting from 2015, and it took us 3 years to completely finalize the whole menu and come up with every single minute details to make it the quality of food that it is right now.
And you guys have two stores open. First one opened in 2018, both in New Jersey. And then there's been a more recent partnership with Craveworthy Brands to franchise it, which is what I want to go into next. But I'll give a quick background. Craveworthy Brands is led by Greg Majewski. He started with Jimmy John's when they're at 20 something stores as their CEO up till 300 open stores, 1,000 total sold. And Jimmy John's has been the most successful food franchise in the world for the last 3 decades. So it's how do you get that same foundation of what built Jimmy John's and now apply it to smaller brands? Because smaller brands are awesome in the sense that you get to pick territories, you get the best territories, you get to meet the founders, you're not just another number, right? It's a lot of handholding, but it's like, okay, how much do these guys know if they only have two stores, right? And that's where Craveworthy comes in. Then you get the look and the feel and the backing of a large company with a giant team on marketing and tech and the experience on how to expand. So that kind of leads me to this question. Why now? You're just launching the franchise option right now. Why now?
It took us like 5 years to build this brand, take it to where it is right now. And then we were stuck. Like, I mean, how to take it farther, how to scale it. We were lost. We had to have somebody who had the know-how, the knowledge, and everything to take it to the next level. That's when we met with Greg. Greg gave us an offer. We took it. We partnered with Greg. Greg and his team is going to take this concept to the next level.
And I love that you're recognizing the importance of partnerships. Obviously, I recognize the same thing because I'm like, I can only go so far. Ukarsh, you talked a little bit about the white space open, right? They're like, nobody's doing this. They're all doing it wrong. They're not doing it fresh, or it's too expensive. Can you get into that?
So when you first speak about Indian food, or anybody gets introduced to Indian food, it's the first thing that they recognize is the complexity of it. The complexity of the spices, the techniques of cooking the food. Millions have tried to scale it and make it, you know, bigger, but it's just too complex. Now, that complexity and the requirement of that skilled labor is what we have solved. That's the problem that we have solved. Now that complexity and that skilled labor has been consolidated, and with help of the Worthy Brands, we have also made it operationally so much more easier that any operator from anywhere, even if it's from an IT background or somebody from marketing background who has no idea about how to cook food, can open Sigri Barbecue and actually make it operationally easier for themselves. And it's easier to hire, you know, people who are not really that skilled, because right now majority of Indian restaurants which are operating is extremely dependent on the chef. And the reason why the quality will change, because the chef is going to change. You're never going to have the same chef for the same amount of time. And when we come into this franchise model, there is a big white space because of its complexity. Nobody have even cracked that code yet, which we think we have. And that's why, you know, what Chipotle is for Mexican food, what Kawa is for Mediterranean food, Sigri is going to be for Indian food.
We're not going to be, as it already is, in the concept, just not the scale. We're going to get there in the scale.
No matter what, we're going to be that number one guy up there.
Tell me about that, though. I mean, how's the interest been so far? You guys have two stores in one state. I know that last time we spoke 2 days ago, you jumped on your phone and you're like, we had 17 leads yesterday. I'm like, how are you getting 17 leads if you have, why is everybody rushing to the door? I was telling Jagat this morning as well, the sales team's texting me, they're like, we're so excited for Sigri. Like, just out of nowhere, we're gonna, hundreds of people are gonna buy these this year. And I'm like, this is gonna be really cool. Why is it so hot when you guys are so small?
I mean, I would let Utkarsh answer that, because it's mainly because of his social media presence and his TikTok videos and all that. That's where we are getting all this interest from. I mean, whoever comes in the stores and tastes the food, I would say like 10% of the customers would definitely ask us about whether we are franchising or not. It has been going on for years, but now with Utkarsh's videos and his social media, it has like exploded.
I think real quick on that, that is true. Ukarsh, what you're doing is putting eyes on the brand, but you're not telling them to get into a franchise. You're just showing them, here's an opportunity. Once they see it, why are you getting 17 people in one day? I mean, if anybody is in the franchising space, they're like, I've never received 17 leads ever. And we have 100 units, right? And you guys are at 2 units. So now we have the eyes, but what's causing people to be like, oh my gosh, I want to see if I could bring one of these into my community.
Okay, so first thing first, when the majority of the interest that goes on is visual. How do you fall in love with something first without having a taste or a bite? The first thing is your visual. And when it comes to Indian food, there is nothing that competes to Indian food visually. So that's why when you open Sigri Barbecue and you're gonna put that food on a plate, people are gonna fall in love with it right there and there. And the only thing I tell people is just that you just need to come in here and taste the food once. That's about it. And again, the leads are coming in, I think, is because of social media right now, majoritively. There was just one goal in front of me. How can I let people know that I'm here?
To add something to that, what I went through when I came to America, I wanted some good Indian food. And all this Indian population that has moved since to America, everybody's thinking the same thing. And if the food is simplified to the level where they can operate a restaurant, they would want to jump onto it.
Pretty much like, I want to have freedom, right? I want to be my own boss. And if I could do that while giving back to the community, especially giving my culture back to the community, that's amazing. But how the hell do I do that? Do I really want to go sign a 10-year lease, come up with a brand, come up with recipes, and then hope my marketing works, right? Or do I want to buy into a system that's already going? So now you guys have eyes on it. And if I hear you correctly, the visuals of the food, I mean, you look at it and you eat it, it makes it better. Like, it makes the entire experience better, but it also makes it Instagrammable, right? It allows other people to share it. It's like, holy crap, where are you getting such delicious looking food? And then, Jagat, what you said is the majority of the leads are coming in, tasting the food and saying, oh my God, how do I bring this to my community?
Yeah. It's always love at first sight. So the sight has to be something that you can fall in love with. So you have to make sure your food looks amazing. People have to be falling in love at the first sight. And when they have the first bite, that's it.
Completely agree with you. So everybody in the Indian culture, they, you know, this is their food and it's authentic and it's fresh. So it's boom, easy sell, right? What about for other people that are unfamiliar? How are you guys making it, I guess, more approachable if somebody doesn't order Indian food all the time? Menus are a little confusing. They don't really know the names and the ingredients. I mean, because I've had the experience, right? So I just go to my butter chicken default because I'm like, I know that's delicious. Maybe some garlic naan. How are you guys approaching people outside of the traditional, you know, Indian food buyers?
Now that's the first thing that was in our mind when we were going through, you know, developing the whole concept of Sigri Indian Barbecue is, so far Indian food has been served in a way where you have to go sit down in a place with a menu with 5,000 letters in it, which you can't even pronounce for somebody who is not from, you know, the Indian heritage or from the country. So now for Sigri Indian Barbecue, when you come in, we have simplified it in such a simple way where you can make your bowl, you can make your platter, you make your kathi roll, or you order fried butter chicken. That's about it. Got it. So for the bowls and the platters, you select your rice, where we have curry lime rice, the Sigri saffron rice, and the basmati rice. You choose your proteins. You have chicken tikka that comes out straight from the tandoor. We have the malai chicken, the achari, the paneer for the vegetarian. We have grilled salmon that comes out from the tandoor, and also lamb. And for your sauces, we have six sauces: the butter sauce, vindaloo sauce, spinach, chole with chickpeas, dal with the lentils, and that's about it. And then you select your salad and the chutney. That's all. And we also have live tandoors on the line, so where people can actually see the employees making the naan in front of them and the meats coming out from the tandoor. It's not happening back in the kitchen. It's happening right in front of their eyes. So when somebody who comes into Sigri Barbecue is not thinking twice or even, you know, even having any guess of what am I going to order or what am I going to do? It's straight up laid out to them, which is much more easier. And it's all, again, the quality of everything is so fresh that when you see the food, you want to eat the food. It's that simple.
Talking again about open kitchens, what does that do? It adds to the experience and makes it Instagrammable. You know what I mean? Like, people are like, ooh, that's my food being prepared. And then you talked about, I don't have to go read 50 menu items. It's just pick my base, pick my protein, pick my sauces, pick my add-ins. And it's like anybody that's never been in, it's just step 1, 2, 3, 4, kind of done. So we talked about not having to have a trained chef, which is awesome. Part of that is having standard operating procedures, but also part of that is having like pre-measured, pre-mixed things like spice blends. Love to hear a little bit about how you guys are doing that and the pros and cons.
Okay. Yeah,
the complexity of Indian food, that there are like 17 to 24 spices that go in a particular typical recipe. For anybody, a little pinch of spice here and there would destroy the recipe. The chef that we consulted was very adamant about having the spice blends. Just created, formulated a spice blend so that's consistent and human error has been eliminated from that process.
You're talking about fresh food. And in my mind, coming from dirty dough, I'm like, my whole thing was I'm going to give you a frozen cookie puck that lasts 18 months with no preservatives, you know, because it's freezer. We don't really deal with waste. I think fresh food, I'm like, man, how much food are you throwing away at the end of it every night? Tell me how much waste you have and what you've done to be able to reduce that.
Yeah. So for the wastage, we have zero to minimum. There is no wastage because all the sauces and the chutneys we make in-house has a shelf life of 10 days. And they've been out every 3 days. So we have to make sauces and chutneys every the 3 days, which goes out. And again, for your protein, which you cook fresh in the tandoor, it takes 10 minutes. You skewer the meat, you put it in the tandoor, put the timer on, take it out, chop it up, serve it on the line. So the protein, you make it, you can make it, if you know you're going to get 20 customers, you make protein for 25 the customers. It only takes 10 minutes.
Is that the key to your affordable pricing? Because, I mean, I go to McDonald's and I get a number one and it's like $11, or I could pay $4 more and get twice the food and have it be healthy. Like, it's not only that it's healthy and delicious, but it's more food than I'm getting at a hamburger place. Is it part of the waste, or what else have you guys done? How are you serving affordable food with such high quality and freshness?
Yep. That's why the whole concept works. That's why the entire concept works, is because you make it fresh. When you make it fresh, it's cheaper. When you make it from scratch, it's cheaper. If I go to a third party and ask him to, oh, can you give me sauces which has been shipped from California and have a middleman in Carolina, and it's coming from a commissary kitchen in Jersey, it adds up. You cannot argue about the price that human labor has from frozen to fresh. But when you have a recipe that tell you have to dice the onions, you have to dice the tomatoes, put it with like this much oil at that the temperature, and when it comes to spices, this is where it gets very interesting. It's because the spices, what even you get in the States, it comes in a form which is in packets. And when you work with Seagreen Indian Barbecue, you will have the best quality of spice blends, which has already been tweaked and at its prime quality. So when you put that spices with the onions and you saute it, you can smell it. You can smell it the same way you would smell it on the streets of Kolkata or Mumbai.
Mm-hmm. And fresh food is cheaper if you're doing it correct and minimizing waste. Because generally I hear that, I'm like, that's not intuitive to me. I'm like, no, it's the, you know, dino nuggets that I buy from Costco for my kid that is pretty cheap, you know, warm those up. But that's chicken. That's everywhere. Indian food is way more specialized. Anyway, so I like that you guys have found that if we could reduce waste, make it fresh, especially in the Indian market where it's more expensive to get all these specialized spices shipped in and the mixes, then not only can we do the fresh, delicious, healthy food, but it can be affordable pricing.
I make Indian food at home every single day, and my grocery bills are not more than $100 a week. Now, that for an average American is impossible. Because you buy frozen food, you buy frozen meat, you buy meats in bulk from, you know, all these places. It's going to cost you a lot. But if you make food fresh at home, if I'm eating food fresh at home and it's costing me less, why would the customers be paying $30 for a meal? It doesn't make sense. So fresh food has to be cheaper.
And what is the average ticket size?
So our bowls at $12 is $15. So the average ticket size was like $17 to $18.
Awesome. So I mean, I could go in there and get the bowl with rice, chicken for like $15, because you're saying it's starting at 12 and then you're adding on a few, you know, taxes and things like that.
I can eat, I can finish the whole bowl, but I don't think Jagat can finish the whole bowl.
No, I cannot. I mean,
yeah. We've had a conversation of portioning, and I'm like, see, portioning, it's costing us the same. So why do we skim on portions?
Let
them have the portion. Let them have half. The people who cannot have that big of an appetite, let them eat twice. Half in lunch and half in like dinner. I don't want to cut the portion and be like, hey, I'm going to charge you the same price.
Yeah, I love it. Okay, so big portion sizes, healthy at affordable price. Love all of that. Yeah. What about opening the store though? How much is that going to cost somebody? I know there's always a big variance. You know, on the low end, it's always like, am I moving into a restaurant that already has a hood and bathrooms and sprinklers and I'm just re-outfitting? Or am I walking into gravel and I have to pour cement? But just rough ranges, what are we expecting here?
Yeah, second generation restaurant would cost somewhere around $2,000 to $250,000. But a vanilla box, maybe up to 350. A shell would be upward of 400. Depends on, but that would be the range between 250 and 450, I guess.
Which is really low to open up a restaurant.
Restaurant, yes.
What have you guys done to keep the cost so much lower than the competitors?
It's the size of the restaurant too. We don't want 2,500 square feet to operate this restaurant. A typical high takeout volume would fit into less than 1,500 square feet. If you need some seats, 1,500 would still accommodate enough seats and full kitchen. So that's one of the biggest benefit.
So if your lease is smaller, of course that's going to be a lower build out. But imagine your rent every month, right? It's less rent, which then adds to profitability. And I'm sure that translates back to now we could offer affordable pricing because our costs are lower. But why? I mean, how are you getting away with 1,500 square feet when the competitors are double?
Because now the best thing about Seagram Barbecue, you don't need any fancy equipment.
Okay.
Again, you don't need a fancy equipment that is going to defrost 40 pounds of chicken or, you know, defrost sauces for, you know, 5 hours. You just need something with heat. You need a surface and you need a tandoor. So the equipment list is very small and it's all on the line. There is no big kitchen inside where you need a 20-foot hood. You need like 18 burners, 4 fryers. Mm. No. You're making everything fresh. Everything is coming in. People are lining up and you're making the food and you're serving them and they're out. It's quick.
And then the quickness also adds to obviously higher revenue because you can get through the lines a lot quicker, even though you're at a much smaller space.
For repeat customers, does not take more than 1 minute to order to pick up. Less than 1 minute.
What percentage of the business is delivery? How much are you guys promoting, you know, third-party delivery apps like DoorDash, things like that?
So in North Brunswick, I have 33% is awesome. Third-party.
Yep.
So again, it's like, I don't need a huge square footage to get good high revenue numbers because a third of it, they're not even coming in here anyway because I'm doing such a good job on my third-party marketing efforts.
Yep. And again, that's again an amazing news after we partnered up with Craveworthy Brands because our commission rates have gone down. They've been able to negotiate amazing prices for us, which also the franchisees will be getting. And on top of that, they've streamlined it in such an easier way to our POS system that, you know, the orders are coming in smoother. The assembly line has been worked out by Craveworthy Brands in a way where it's just a very quick thing that you can do and not a complicated or chaotic thing that the employee has to go inside, grab a ticket, you know, accept it on the tablet. And, you know how the whole the third party chaos can be.
I went through the same thing. So we have our third party delivery, you know, we're at whatever, 60, 80 stores, whatever the number is, on the third party. As soon as we signed with Craveworthy, within 2 months, the fee that we paid went down by like 28%. And I'm like, wait, 28%. And if let's call, you know, a store was doing 25% through delivery. Now 25% saves another 25. It's like, wait, you just added how much back to the gross just because we signed a contract? Because now we're part of, you know, multiple hundreds of stores. So love that. A lot of synergies there. Again, I've experienced them and I'm still experiencing them. With Dirty Dough, I'm like, dang.
It really makes a big difference because, you know, being a small mom and pop store, being a franchise, 30% is a lot of money.
Yeah.
That's your entire labor cost.
If you save 15% of the delivery cost, it adds like 3-4% to your bottom line.
Yeah, it adds up super, super quick. So lots of benefits with the Craveworthy, but that was one that I noticed immediately. I was like, holy crap, this is cool and it's quick. So talked a lot about the operations, kind of a little bit about the history, why the Indian food. Now let's talk about like, who's a good fit for this concept? You know, what's their background and who's not a good fit to be able to, you know, offer Seagree into their community, kind of speak to the pros and cons of what type of franchisees we want in the system.
First and foremost requirement is commitment. passion and commitment. If anybody is passionate enough to get into this business and committed to bring that business, work hard. Those are the people that we are looking for to franchise.
Because it's not the skill. It's not you need to be you have to have an Indian cuisine background. That's the whole point. Is you don't.
Good point. That those factors have been taken care of by Craveworthy and us. The boots on the ground are going to be the franchisees,
right? It's you, both of your guys' story. It's not like you professional chefs, but it's like I want to bring this type of food to share with my community. How the hell do I do it? And now that I've done it and I've spent 5 years and pulled my hair out, how do I give that opportunity to others without them having all of the same kind of roadblocks? So really willingness and ability to follow a plan. Yeah.
Now for me, it's really simple. If you are somebody who wants to open a business and give to your community a feeling of fresh food, because remember, you're going to be the one who's buying the franchise, you're going to be the one to provide food to somebody. Okay, it's a business, but you're giving somebody a really basic necessity, which is food. And if you can't do that right, you know, this is not for you. So if you really committed to make things right and serve good food to the environment, to everybody, you're in. And if you're somebody who just wants to get into the business, and don't want to, you know, just want to need the bottom line and the money, I don't think it's going to work out.
I love that. Because it's always, I mean, the bottom line is going up and down, but it's obviously going to go up the more and more passionate you are and the more involvement you have in the community. But yeah, there's a lot of people that are like, no, I want to buy, you know, I'm going to buy a business. I live out of state. I'm going to hire a college person that worked for Five Guys for 3 years and hope that they can run it. You know, and it's like, good luck. Good luck. We're not going to accept you because you're probably going to fail and that's going to look bad on us and you're going to waste all your money. So let's just kind of call it here. Tell me about the long-term vision of the brand. Where do you guys see Seagree in 2, 3, 5 years?
Well, basically when we started Seagree, we wanted it to be scaled, but now partnering with Craveworthy, we don't see any hurdles in the next 3, 5, 10 years. We could be national, coast to coast. That's the vision.
Seagree Indian Barbecue needs to be available to every single human on this planet for me. Every single human on this planet need to eat this food, need to feel the way I feel every single day. They need to have that experience. When they wake up in the morning, they got to feel like, okay, my lunch is this. This is what I'm going to be eating at Seagree Indian Barbecue, and I'm going to feel amazing. The plan is to make every single person on this planet eat my food.
Historically, we've seen, you know, when franchises explode, whether it's like a Jimmy John's, whatever, it's the people that come in at the beginning and they grow with the franchise that make the true wealth and the generational wealth. And it's why. It's because territory is so freaking important. If you're trying to open up, you know, a Wendy's and you're in the middle of nowhere in Oklahoma, like, yeah, go ahead. And maybe it goes decent. Where are you going to expand to? Right? And that's where I think that this is such a good opportunity. It's You're getting in ground level, wide open spaces with a great brand that knows what they're doing because they partnered with someone that built the largest and fastest growing food franchise in the last 3 decades, literally in the entire world. So that's kind of cool. Shifting to community impact. That's something I love. I've donated cookies to every single nonprofit in the last 3 years that have hit me up on anything. For any reason, it's like, yeah, we'll donate cookies. We'd love to get out there and being involved in that community. I sponsored my buddy's softball team. You know, we were the Dirty Dough team. There's so many give backs, daughter's soccer game. And as well as I threw up a banner at my high school football, whatever, like $400. It's like all of these different things are give backs, but it also builds my brand and back to the community. So went on for probably too long there, but tell me about how you guys are giving back to the community and what potential or recommendations do you guys have for franchisees that come into the system, how they can be involved to maximize community give back and participation?
Brick and mortar store has to be involved in the community. That is a very important, because they once you become a part of the community, you go to these games, you go to this nonprofit organization, you know people. And when people know you personally, it makes a difference. And they would be your ambassadors.
Now, even for somebody who haven't had any first-hand experience in business, you just need to understand one thing. That's what I run by. You give somebody value, they will give you value. If you're in business, you're in for money, right? So you got to give something valuable to your customers, to the community, to get back. So for me, the best value, okay, for food, you're going to give them convenience. You're going to give them tasty food. You have to be in the community. You have to make people happy. You make people happy, you give them that emotional value, and they are with you for life. So if you want to be in business, you want to make money, focus on value. Focus on creating value for your brand. Focus on creating value for your food. Focus on creating value for your customers.
And I know we're doing a lot of that, I guess, just general marketing ideas that Craveworthy is implementing across the brands to give back to the community and be involved with the community. Anytime you can be part of a booster program, amazing with the school. Fundraisers, amazing. Catering with any of those parties, amazing. I know my brother, he has a Dirty Dough, and they do cookies for kindness. So all of the elementary are giving out free cookies. If there's an act of kindness, they write their name, then they get to go redeem it. You know, it costs what to give out a free cookie, and then your branding's all out there. So there's all these really cool ideas that Craveworthy's been implementing across all the brands that also apply to Seagreen.
Yeah. And I'm also, you have to be available where people are. So if we back 30 decades ago, people were on the road driving, you have to be on the billboards. But now everybody's on their phone. You have to understand that. And everybody's on social media. You have to be available on social media and do an amazing job. That's why Seagreen Indian Barbecue is getting so many leads, is because we are killing it on social media. Yep. So where the people's eyes are, where the people are spending most of their time, you have to be there, and you have to create, again, the value. When you create the value on social media, people will spend time on your screen, and you know, they'll be more aware about what you are doing in the community.
And social media is all about building the brand, right? And you guys are doing a really good job about that, because a brand is a huge part of what's selling. And I want to pivot into virtual brands, not to dive too much, but just to give a little teaser, because Craveworthy, you know, I think they're up to like 18 brands now, whatever the number is. They have a lot of amazing culinary chefs, and they've developed a handful of virtual brands that can be served using the same equipment in existing restaurants. So I have a Seagreen franchise, but maybe I'm a little dead in the morning in my neighborhood. So can I turn on the Scrambled Eds breakfast concept and serve breakfast through third-party delivery in the morning? And hell, why not all day? Or why not do any of these other brands, right? But the point is, how do we maximize revenue per square foot in your store? We already have the labor there, and we know that there's downtime. You know, we're already paying the lease. We already have freezers. We already have everything. We're already ordering from Sysco. So can I just choose a new SKU item to put in the same fryer or whatever? Talk to me about that opportunity for the franchisees, as far as, you know, one, risk mitigation in the sense of higher revenues, you know, with fixed cost, as well as just the potential to increase sales.
We have fryers. We have flat top grills, so we can do scrambling eggs. We can do Nomad hot dogs. We have all the equipment that we need, and we have majority of all the ingredients that we're already using for these brands, like scrambling eggs. We have eggs. We have chicken for if you want to do wings. Or we also have, you know, we have a flat top grill that we can make sandwiches or hot dogs. So you can actually plug and put these items into your existing, you know, ecosystem and create more revenue for yourself.
Now, so with these virtual brands, I mean, even the point of sale system's the same, right? It's just so easy because it's all under the same umbrella. Shifting into kind of the last thing, if I wanted to become a franchisee, what kind of support, because that's what I'm doing it for, right? I want to reduce my risk. I want support, not just the brand, not just the recipes, but ongoing support on two things, operations and marketing. What kind of support do franchisees get in the Seagreen system?
Utkarsh does it very well. Everybody knows that. So, but it will be an ongoing constant support from us. But as I said earlier, it's the franchisee who has the boots on the ground. Once in a while, we go there, discuss their problems.
Yeah, well, I think it's once a quarter is we're visiting all of the stores. And then soft opening and grand opening, we're typically sending people out as well.
Now on paper, yes. Yeah, now on paper, yes, we have timelines, and we have time where we'll be coming in once a month, twice a month. But the franchisees, I want to give that kind of security to them.
We will always share our personal cell phone numbers with them, and we will always be open, if not answer the phone, but get back to them as soon as we can.
Yeah, we're going to be there in every step of the way, all the time, to make sure that you hit that success I could on your batch.
All right, last question for both of you guys. What has been your favorite part as an owner of Seabree? Yep.
From being a franchisee to becoming a franchisor now and living the American dream, that's what is the best part. The whole process from where I started with a small little franchise to becoming, founding Seabree and making it franchisable.
Love it. Ukarsh, what about you?
For me, it's always been one thing. As an owner of Seabree Indian Barbecue, providing people with this amazing food that I grew up eating is the best thing for me. And, you know, something that gives them happiness once they go home and they be like, hey, I went to this place and food was so great. And that mood just reflects to their day-to-day life. And, you know, you are what you eat. So if you eat Seabree Indian Barbecue, you will be happy. You'll be joyful. You'll be fun. You will give that same energy to your kids, your family.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate your time. Where's the best place that listeners can connect with you guys individually or with the brand?
I would say go on social media, go on TikTok, Instagram, follow us. Go to Seabree Barbecue, see what we are doing. We would love for you to come into the store and eat the food at least once and follow us on social media.
I'm going to say this though. You guys are all into this, which is freaking awesome. And I'm super excited to be more part of the growth story.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming on, both of you. Appreciate it.
Thank you.